Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day that you have given us and a day that we have never seen before. We are thankful, Lord, for the charge of the gospel you have given us to take this message to a lost and dying world. We're thankful, Lord, for those who have called in this evening. We pray, Lord, that we have ready hearers to hear unto us the bread of life that Brother Whitaker will share with us. We pray, Lord, in his exegy of the topic that he's been given this evening, Lord, that he is able to convey to us your will, your love for us through your Son, Jesus. The cross that he suffered and died on, the blood that he shed, the tomb that was empty, the church that he built, the promises we can read about in your inspired word. We pray, Lord, that someone's heart be pricked this evening, that they may understand what is required of them to be saved. Pray, Lord, that you continue to bless this work. Bless us with the increase. We ask this prayer in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We're so thankful to be working with you as my co-host. We're very grateful tonight to have each and every person on the call. If you're on the call, stated you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are very honored and distinguished guest of the audience, and we're very thankful to God that you've chosen to join us tonight. We pray you open your Bible up and follow along with our speaker, and tonight take notes of the things that will be taught from the Word of God, and especially as it pertains to your soul salvation. We're so excited tonight to announce Brother Charles Love was baptized this morning in San Diego, and Kayla Johnson on Saturday, and the results of the call, the most recent new members of the Lord's Church. And we're rejoicing with the angels in heaven and welcome them, as well as others who've obeyed through these calls to the Church of Christ. Tonight, Brother Rob Whitaker currently serves as the director for the House to House, Heart to Heart School of Evangelism, where he trains dozens of congregations annually how to grow. He has a deep abiding love for foreign missions. He's also recorded an entire Bible study using Back to the Bible, and the studies of the Gospel Broadcasting Network that can be used for training or saving and teaching lost souls. So we're so thankful that he's agreed tonight to come and be with us, and we know that he's going to do a great job, and we all want to save our families. Brother Rob is going to talk to us about that. Brother Rob, will you tell us the truth about saving our family at this time?
Thank you, Brother Brooks, for the invitation to be with you tonight. And for those listening tonight, I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak about the most important topic on earth. We're talking about souls and salvation. And several years ago, I walked into our elders' meeting, and I said, brothers, would you let me bring the first point to discussion today? And they said, what's on your mind, preacher? And I said, well, I said, you know, sitting out in our pews are several men who are not Christians. They attend, they frequently come, but they've never obeyed the gospel. I said, I want us to talk about these souls. And through that discussion, I targeted one of those men, and I said, I want to reach out, and I want to spend my time trying to teach Billy the gospel. And they said, what is your plan? And I said, well, I'm going to have knee surgery, and I'm going to drive by his house for therapy, and I'm going to stop by once a week, and I'm just going to visit, and I'm going to see if I can study the Bible with Billy. If you're listening tonight to this program, here's one thing I want you to understand, that salvation comes from studying the Word of God. And it's not about my opinion. It's not about what I want or like. It's about going to the book. And I want to steer you to the book tonight. And that's where I wanted Billy to go. I wanted him to go to the book. And so I went by his house, and I remember the first time I knocked on his door, and he opened the door, and he said, well, Rob, he says, what brings you here? And I said, well, I just want to stop by and say hello, Billy. Now, Billy farms, And so I steered the direction right towards the farms, and I knew a little bit about farming, so we talked about the corn, we talked about the soybeans, we talked about the wheat, we talked about the John Deere tractor, and we had great discussions, and talked about the weather. If you're going to talk to a farmer, talk about the weather. That always leads to discussion. And he said, "Man, it meant a lot to me. You stopped by." I said, "Well, I've enjoyed it." I said, "May I stop by next week?" He said, "You sure can." So the next week came, and I knocked on the door, and I came in. His good wife, Miss Frances, and she's a sister in Christ. She was there, and we sat down in the living room, and we just talked about family. We talked about life, and I learned a lot. And I did this for a period of weeks on end. I just kept doing this over and over again. I wanted to do a Bible study with Billy. One day I got out there to the farm and I sat down and Billy said, "Rob, I've got to get something out of the barn. Will you excuse me?" And I said, "Sure, Billy." Miss Frances was sitting right next to me and I looked over at Miss Frances and I said, "Frances, today is the day." She knew exactly what I meant. Tears began to bead up in her eyes and they began to come out and I held her and she said, "Rob," she looked at me, she said, "Rob, I've been waiting for this all my life." And I said, "Well, Frances, let's pray about this." And we prayed for Billy and for Billy's heart and for us to have wisdom in how we brought the word to him. Billy walked into the house. He can tell his wife's been crying, and he looked a little puzzled. He sat down in his chair, and I looked across at the room, and I said, "Billy, I said, do you think it's strange that the preacher for the Church of Christ has been visiting you for the past several months?" And he looked at me and said, "Rob," he said, "I reckon I've never seen it before." And I said, "Well, Billy," I said, "I want you to know why I'm here." I said, "Billy, I want to talk to you about Jesus." I didn't know what Billy was going to do. He stood up and he walked over to me and I stood up and he hugged me. And he said, "Rob, I've been meaning to do this for years." And I said, "Billy, I tell you what," I said, "why don't you come over to our house next week? My wife will fix you a country dinner that just be savory." And I said, we'll have dinner, and then we'll sit down, and we'll do a Bible study, because that's what we really need to do. It's not about what I want you to do. It's what God says. And he agreed. So Billy and Frances came the next week. We sat around our kitchen table, and I still remember my wife put together a roast and mashed potatoes and green beans and okra. And it was so good. We had a great conversation, and I said, "Well, Billy, it's time." We took out these little studies I used called Back to the Bible. We opened our Bible, and I can remember Billy just shaking as he opened his Bible. I can remember putting my hand on his. And I said, "Billy, it's all right." I said, "I understand." I said, "But I tell you what, we're in the best hands possible tonight. The God of heaven's looking over us." And we began that Bible study. Now, we went through that Bible study together. Now, it's not like Billy hasn't heard 100 sermons. He's been sitting in the pews of churches for decades. I knew Billy knew. So this is a kind of a summary Bible study I did. I just hit the high points, and, you know, Billy knew everything I said, and I finally got to the end, and I just looked across and said, "Billy, what hinders you?" I said, "What keeps you from doing what you know the Bible says, to obey the gospel, to repent of your sins, to be baptized for the remission of your sins?" Now, I want you to listen to what he said. He said, "Rob, it's my family." He said, "You don't understand the obstacle that I face." He said, "Listen, I know what the Bible says. I've been listening to these sermons, and I know what I need to do, but my family, listen, they go to this different church, and they don't believe like that. You don't understand how hard it is for me to break away and do what you're asking to do." It was at that moment that I presented to him the lesson I'm going to give tonight. The lesson I've got tonight for you is, what about my family? You know, sometimes family can be a great blessing and to your faith, and they can encourage you and they can help you. And when you're going through difficult times, they can get you through those times. And they're a motivation. But you know, there are times for many people where family actually becomes the distraction. They become the hindrance. They become the obstacle, the gospel obedience. I want to talk about those tonight who are struggling to obey the gospel because of their family. And then I'm going to end this lesson tonight by telling you how it turned out with Billy. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." I want you to hear tonight that if you want to do what's right with God, you can't look to anyone but Jesus. If we look to family, if we look at grandma, to mom, to dad, to brother, sister, to son, daughter, it's going to be very difficult to find ourselves at the finish line, because the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 2, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, fathers and mothers can be wonderful, you know, teachers, and I hope they're a good influence in your life, but not always. Sometimes they don't believe. Sometimes they're misguided, and sometimes they're a distraction. But listen to this. We need to look to Jesus, Because the Bible says he is the author and finisher of our faith. Dad doesn't finish faith. Mom doesn't finish faith. Sons and daughters don't finish faith. And we've got to make sure that our faith isn't based upon a family member, but it's based upon Jesus. And notice what it says. He endured the cross. He despising the shame. He is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So number one, look to Jesus. Number two, understand that Jesus was tempted in all points like you are right now. Look what Hebrews 4:15 says. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points of life tempted as we are, yet without sin. I got a question for you tonight. When the Bible says Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, does that mean Jesus was tempted by his own family? Does that mean Jesus experienced the same temptation that you're experiencing tonight? I just have a suspicion that there are some who are going to listen to this program that know what they need to do, but yet they're concerned about obeying because maybe it would go against what mom said. Maybe it would go against what dad said or what your children said or even what your spouse has said. And you're allowing your spouse, your children, to have a greater influence on you than Jesus himself. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points. The question I have, was Jesus tempted by his family? Has he experienced what you're experiencing? Take your Bible to Matthew 13:57, and let's get that answered. Let's look at the Bible. The scripture says this, so they were offended at him. Now, I want you to understand what that word offended means. It doesn't mean he hurt their feelings. It means that it's to act in such a way as to cause one to sin. But Jesus said to them, now listen to what Jesus said, as he was speaking to this crowd, as people that knew Jesus, his family, his friends were listening, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And now listen to this last part, his own house. Yes, indeed, there were people listening from Jesus' own house that were offended at Jesus. There were people that didn't want to follow Jesus of his own household. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:3, according to his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That means that the Bible has everything we need to address every issue of life. So even when it comes to our family, God has an answer. I'm suggesting to you who are listening this evening that the answer that God has given you to the difficulties that sometimes family place in our way to gospel obedience is in Jesus. That Jesus experienced it. He knows what you're feeling. He knows how it feels. In fact, go to John 7:5, where the Bible about Jesus said, after Jesus had this moment here, it says, for even his brothers did not believe in him. Did you know? You know, some of you may not know tonight that Jesus had brothers and sisters. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 concerning the birth of Jesus, something very interesting that many, I don't really believe, understand. Matthew 1:25, and Joseph knew her not, that is Mary, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, two things here. Number one, that Mary was not a perpetual virgin, that Joseph knew her after Jesus was born. That is, he was intimate, had a marital relationship with Mary. Number two, notice that Jesus is called the firstborn son. Now, dear friends, if there's a firstborn, there's a secondborn. In fact, we know there were brothers and sisters of Christ. And the Bible identifies in John 7:5 that the brothers of Jesus did not believe in him. Friends, can you imagine the Christ? He's perfect in every way. He never sinned. He always said the right things. Can you imagine a sibling who always says the right things? He never says the wrong things. Jesus was an evangelist and a preacher who never preached too long. He never preached too short. Everything Jesus did was perfection. And yet even with the perfect presentation of the message, his brothers did not believe in him. Dear friends, the brothers of Jesus turned their back on the Son of God. Now, friends, I want you to think just for a minute. How do you think Jesus felt when that happened? How do you think what do you think Jesus thought about as he was laying in bed at night? Do you think he ever thought about his brothers who turned their back on the message of hope, the message of salvation? Do you think it bothered him? Do you think he was ever tempted maybe to give in? You know, you may tonight be listening, and the reason you have not obeyed the gospel is because you've just given in to your family. who said, you know what, it's just not worth, you know, straining that relationship. You know, it's a, you know, if I obeyed the gospel, if I become a member of the Church of Christ, you know, you don't realize the pain that I would experience, the ridicule that I would receive, the humiliation that I would undergo. But listen to Jesus. He was willing to undergo that ridicule. He was willing by his own brothers to take it. Look what Jesus said. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:21. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus suffered at the hands of his own family, that it bothered him. Friends, he wouldn't be human if it didn't bother him that his own brothers didn't believe, that his own brothers turned their back on him. He wouldn't be human. No, you know, so I understand if you're listening tonight and you're saying, preacher, you don't get it. You probably were raised in the church and all your sisters and brothers are members of the church and you haven't gone through that pain of having to make a decision that your own family, that they may turn their back on me. I may lose friends. I want you to listen to me very carefully tonight. Your Lord, the Son of God, knows exactly how you feel. I admit it. I may not understand your plight. I may not understand how you feel, but I know who does. And I know who experienced it personally. That's what's so good about Jesus. He's not an idol. He's not a dead God. He's not a gold or silver statue that has no emotions, who's never lived. Our God lived on this earth. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. He knows how it feels to suffer. Now I want you to think about this. Look at Matthew 13:55. In Matthew 13:55, the Bible says something that's extraordinary about Jesus. It says, is this not the carpenter's son? That's Jesus. He was preaching. They couldn't believe it because how did he learn this? He's the carpenter's son. Now watch this. Is not his mother called Mary? So there's his mother now. And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. I bet you didn't realize tonight that we not only know that Jesus had siblings, we know their names. We know four of the brothers of Christ, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas. Now, I tell you what, two of those names ought to be familiar with anyone who has studied their Bible because two of their names bear names of the books of the Bible. In fact, I want you to consider this. If you love Jesus, what better thing could you do than lead your brethren to him? If you love God tonight, what better thing could you do than to lead them to the cross? So Jesus had a choice. He could turn his back on the Father, and he could go along with his brothers who had turned their back upon him, or he could be faithful. Watch this, Jude 1:1. Jude, that's his brother, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. This is the brother of James. This is Jude, the brother of James. This is the brother of Christ. He wrote the book of Jude to those who are called, sanctified by God and the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to another one, and I want to bring this together. Go to James 2:1. In James 2:1, it says, my brethren, this is one of his brothers, do not hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. May I suggest to you tonight an undeniable fact that because Jesus did not turn his back on the Father, because Jesus was faithful even when the pressure rose, when his friends, his countrymen, and his own brothers turned their back on him, because Jesus didn't give up, because he was willing to be faithful when times were hard. He was willing to obey even when it wasn't popular. He was willing to take the humility and the ridicule because of that. James and Jude eventually believe. And not only do they eventually believe and obey, they write two of the New Testament books. Can you imagine what would happen if you would believe, if you would obey the gospel? How many people could you bring to the kingdom? Look at what happened because Jesus was faithful. James and Jude now get to know the glory of heaven and the goodness of God. I want you to consider that the scriptures teach us that God has provided everything we need to successfully become Christians and be faithful. He has given us the example tonight of the Lord in what we are to do when we are faced with a similar temptation. Now, let me go back to Billy. When I told Billy this, I brought Billy through these same passages. I looked at Billy. I said, Billy, if the Lord can do it, if the Lord can be faithful, even when his own family wasn't, don't you think you can? You see, Billy's family wasn't faithful. In fact, Billy, he confessed to me, was we were studying the Bible, that he knew that if he became a Christian, that you know his family may not like what he was going to do. And that had been a reason for not obeying. Billy looked at me after I showed him these verses. He said, Rob, if the Lord can do it, I can do it. And we took Billy that very evening, and he was baptized into Christ. I want to give you a couple other verses to think about as you're considering gospel obedience. In Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30, Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Jesus, he sympathizes with you tonight. He says, listen, he says, when you have to make that decision, when you make a decision that costs you relationship, that costs you possessions, that costs you, you know, hurt, Jesus says, no one shall do that and not receive a hundredfold. My friends, tonight, not only do we have the divine example of Christ that can lead you through this very difficult obstacle in your obedience, we have the promise and assurance of Christ himself, who said, when you make that decision, Jesus, he will reward you. Jesus will, the reward of heaven is so worth it compared to any hardships we would experience on this life. So I'm going to ask you a question tonight, and I want you to consider it as we summarize this lesson. What about my family? I want to ask you not what about your family. I want to ask you what about Jesus. See, friends, what the mistake that so many people make when it comes to this topic, they say, what about mom? What about dad? What about my brothers? What about my sisters who go to this other church? And you know, what are they going to say? May I suggest respectfully tonight, you're asking the wrong question. Because it's really not what about dad. It's not what about me. It's not about anybody. You know who it's about? It's about what about Jesus. Until you ask that question, you'll never come up with the right answer. As long as you're asking about some friend or some family member, your answer is always going to be wrong. Not until you say, what about Jesus? May I turn your attention to Matthew 10:37, where Jesus said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You see the issue we're facing tonight is this. Do you love your heavenly father more than you love your physical father? Do you love your heavenly father more than you love your physical mother? Do you love your heavenly father more than you love a friend that would discourage you from obeying the gospel? Do you love your heavenly father more than you do a spouse, a wife, you know, that would discourage you from obeying the gospel? We should never allow earthly relationships to separate us from the God who made relationships. He's the God of relationships, and the point I want to make is that the family you're going to be receiving when you become a Christian is so great and so powerful. You will have, because we're united by the same Father, when you obey the gospel, you will have brothers and sisters all over the world, people who, at the drop of a hat, will be there to help you, to stand with you. As long as you are doing what you can to be faithful to God, there are churches out there, Christians out there, that will hold your hand and lift you up and help you and encourage you and pray for you. And the power of prayer, the power of a Christian, it's not what about my family. Tonight, it's what about the Lord. You know, the best thing you can do to convert your family tonight is that you can become a Christian. Don't allow family to be a negative. You turn it into a positive. Dear friend, when you decide to become a Christian, when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, there isn't a greater lesson you can give those in your family that are not Christians. You say, well, Rob, I want my mother to obey. I want my son to obey. I want my wife to obey. And I promise you tonight, if you want them to obey, you need to obey. Because if it's not important enough for you to make that sacrifice, if it's not important enough for you to make that commitment, why in the world, pray tell me, would it be important enough for them? The only way they're going to come to gospel obedience is to follow the example that you follow. The Bible says, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm asking you tonight, would you follow Jesus as Jesus followed the Father? Even when his brothers turned against him, and the Bible says his brothers believed him not. They did not even believe in him. I mean, I can't think of a more difficult thing for Jesus to go through than when his own brothers were deniers. They were deniers of the very faith that he lived, that he taught, the perfect teacher. They denied it, and yet he was still faithful. I can tell you this tonight that, yes, I may not understand what you're struggling with, and I may not ever be able to empathize with you because I haven't gone through that. But I know who can. The Lord Jesus feels the infirmities of your flesh. He understands the weakness, and the Lord can walk you through this. So tonight, here's our admonition as we conclude. Would you obey the gospel of Christ? Would you do what Jesus did? You know, the Bible says that Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, Matthew 3:17. I've always looked at that verse in a peculiar way because in Matthew chapter 3 and in verses 13 through 17, when Jesus was being baptized, you know, I understand that he's not being baptized for the remission of his sins. He doesn't have any sins. You know why he's being baptized? To fulfill all righteousness. Let's break that word down for just a minute. He's being baptized because it's the right thing to do. Now, friends, if it was the right thing to do for Jesus, don't you think it's the right thing to do for you? Now, I'm not asking you to do anything that Jesus didn't do. I'm not asking you to do anything less than he did, anything more than he did. We're asking you tonight to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 8:24 says, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And so it is the case tonight that faith, as it comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that you believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and then you're willing to repent of your sins and turn your back on the world and turn your face towards the cross. Friends, what you need to do more than anything tonight is look at the cross. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at your friends. Don't look at family. Look at the cross, because Jesus will always steer you right. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. If you've not done that tonight, repented of your sins, turned your back, because it's in that repentance and that the godly sorrow that brings forth repentance, a change of life, a change of mind, a cessation, you realizing that you can't keep living in sin and please God. You've got to make a change. You don't have to be perfect. The gospel isn't for perfect people. It's for sinful people. But you have to have a change of heart, a change of mind. And then notice what it says in Mark 16:16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Tonight I'm asking, are you willing to do what Jesus taught? Believe and be baptized. Now, you know, tonight I know some people would tell you that verse doesn't mean what it says. Anytime someone tells me a verse doesn't mean what it says, I run. Because that is an easy verse to understand. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, what if I said tonight, he that believes and is baptized gets a brand new Ford truck? Do you think everyone would understand it? I think they would. If I said, he that believes and is baptized gets $1 million, there wouldn't be a soul out there that would argue against the necessity of believing and being baptized. It's only when you say believe and be baptized to be saved that people start arguing with it. Friend, I'm asking you to stop arguing with the Bible and to do what the Bible says. It's a simple book. It's an easy book. Look at Jesus. Do what Jesus said. Be baptized because it's the right thing to do. Hear the gospel. Believe Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Make that good confession. I believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God. Romans 10:10. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you're willing to do that tonight, we want to help you. We want you to understand that in the churches of Christ, we stand ready to help you make that good confession, to receive you into gospel obedience. Dear friends, tonight, as you close your eyes, I want you to think about who you're looking at. Are you following family? Are you following friends? Are you following neighbors? Are you looking at the cross? It's only when you look at the cross that you can be saved. Remember what Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That for the joy that was set before him, he was willing, what? To endure the cross. Suffer shame. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do what Jesus did and suffer shame? And sit down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him. I'm asking you to consider him. Hebrews 12:3, that endured such a gainsaying of sinners. He was made fun of. He was mocked, even by his own brothers, against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You haven't had to do what Jesus did. You didn't have to go to the cross. You didn't have to have a nail print in your hands. But I tell you what you need to do. You need to experience a form of the gospel by being buried with the Son of God in the watery grave of baptism, where you will be united with the blood of Christ, where you can be resurrected a new person, and the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins, not because there's power in the water, but because there's power in the one who says you're saved when you get in the water. There it is, the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once again, I'm asking you tonight, would you look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? Thank you.
Wow. Brother Rob, this lesson needs to be, everybody in the Church of Christ needs to hear this lesson. And those of us who love our families, we should be encouraged. And those on the call tonight that you're on the call because we love you. We're God's family, and we want you to be a part of that family. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ and you want to get baptized, you can email me at the nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will do as we've done today, arrange for you, as we've done for Brother Charles Love in San Diego. We'll make sure we get you to a congregation that's sound, preachers who we know believe just like us, and they'll baptize you. And then go back and save your family. Go home, tell your family the good news. And that's what we're hoping that you would do tonight. You can also, if you say, I want to hear this lesson again one more time, go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's Holland Heights. COC.net. And there, you click on Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. And all of the messages since May, all the great speakers we've had on are there. And you can go and listen to them, download them, share them with your friends and family. We're so thankful for Brother Rob. We're so thankful for the message tonight. Certainly, I'm sure many of you, as I've been touched by the message, and I want my family to be saved. And I've been trying ever since I got in the Church of Christ to get my family into the true church. And we want you to do that as well. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessing. And Lord, we are just rejoicing tonight over this message that's talking about the people we love, our friends, our family members whom we love and want to be saved. We pray that, Lord, that you would bless Brother Rob, his ministry, house to house, heart to heart, evangelism, and we can see his passion. And Lord, we pray that all of us can reach those we love and even our enemies so their souls can be saved. That we can all be cross-eyed, so where we focus on the cross as the greatest love ever demonstrated, as Jesus said, and then take that to our family. We thank you for our visitors. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who joined us. Lord, we pray your blessings upon each family tonight. And we pray most importantly that those who've heard tonight that have not obeyed, that they will obey from the heart this teaching, this form of doctrine. Be baptized, remission of sins, contacting that blood and being added to the Church of Christ, the only church in the Bible. Thank you for the Bible, Lord, and thank you for your truths. We love you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Brother Tommy Brooks, it is my prayer that every listening audience tonight have a peaceful night rest.